How many know when you were a kid? You know, the Bible says when I was a child, I thought as a child, but now that I'm adult, I need to think like adults think, you know. Did you ever get yourself in trouble as a kid? I have the right group, you know. Did you ever make a mistake as a kid? You thought one thing was something and something, you know, but you made a mistake. I remember going out and collecting as a little boy a dozen really pretty yellow flowers and gave them to my mom. And I was just heartbroken an hour later to see them in the garbage. Well, it turned out they were dandelions. And they were so pretty to me as a kid, but I mistook what they were. And that's kind of like what these children are. If you could reach over and get the lights, that would be great. Mom, come see the kittens. No, but sometimes we don't always think like he thinks. We don't always see it like he sees it. And in the immaturity, they saw some really cute little creatures. And everything's great until they really stink all over you. And that's what happens sometimes with life. We reach out to touch what looks really good, and we end up stinking. Anybody agree?
Yeah.
Some of you are looking at me like, just move on. But it's like that in life. And when we spend time in the Word, and when we get into the Word of God and into the Scripture, our life begins to transform and our thinking begins to change and our heart attitudes begin to change. Anybody ever heard of pyrite? What's pyrite? Well, what is it? What is it? Why do they call it fool's gold? Because it looks like gold. And it sparkles. And it fools us. But it's not the real stuff. You can't use it. You can't spend with it. But sometimes things that glitter like gold that capture our hearts and our attention aren't always the real stuff. God is bigger. Can you say that with me? God is bigger. God's bigger than our thoughts. God's bigger than our circumstances. God's bigger than us. But He keeps transforming us to make us like Him. Proverbs chapter 3. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, the message is called God is Bigger. I have some real simple points that I want to make as we go through this set of scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to start with the first six verses. Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 6. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible. Now, many of you have different translations. And I'm going to read the King James here this morning. But I'll also have this section of Scripture in other translations. But I'm going to begin with the King James. And what we learn as we stay in the Word of God transforms us, shapes us, molds us, makes us His people, and we learn how God is bigger. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for, read it with me please, length of days and long life and peace. How many want long days? How many want life, long life? How many would like to have peace in your life? Shall they add to thee? What's adding? The commandments, keeping His Word. Keeping His Word adds to our lives. If you think to yourself, well, I didn't get much out of the Bible reading, you just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it, because as you do, your spirit and soul are transformed from the inside out. Even if you don't quickly understand it all, God will use something by His Spirit to quicken you. And maybe a little later in the day, all of a sudden that little phrase will come back and the temptation will come. But something will come back because your heart will have been transformed as you were in the Word of God. Forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. Length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Where do you find truth? He says in the Scripture, my Word. is truth. The truth. A lot of people say, well, it's my truth, your truth. No, there's one truth. And the one truth is in the Word of God. Now, we say it lovingly to people, but this is where you find real life, real truth. And if it doesn't measure up to this, don't go there, church. If it doesn't line up with this, don't go there. Because this is how we know the truth. We've talked before about people who work at banks only work with true money. They don't have to work with counterfeit money. They only work with true. Because as soon as something counterfeit sneaks through, it doesn't feel right. They look awfully right nowadays with the copy machines and techniques they have, but something doesn't always feel right. Even that's changing. But that was how they always trained bank tellers. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find what?
Favor.
How many like it when God gives you favor?
Amen.
Has anybody in this room ever received blessing that you did not expect? From other people. Maybe you had trouble with family members and all of a sudden you went into this thing and this experience, this weekend, this time with family. And you thought it was just going to go awful and all of a sudden it went good. Or maybe with a boss or somebody down the street and it's just been awful and you've been praying and you go in and it surprisingly ends up being different than you expected. Favor from the Lord. You shall find favor and good understanding. I can't promise you every interaction will be great like that, but you're going to find favor from God, and He's the most important one to have it with. And good understanding in the sight of God and what? God and man. Now, here are the little verses that we all have in our promise boxes and we have on our walls. But it comes in a context. And it's important to understand what is the context of this. Trust in the Lord, say it with me please, with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Now there's parallelisms just in these first six verses. The first verse of two is the instruction. The second verse typically is the result that occurs. Instruction, result, instruction, result. Verses one and two and point one. Keep the Word of God in your heart and mind. Say this with me. I keep the Word of God in my heart. Say it with me. I keep the Word of God in my heart. All right, what does the Scripture say? Forget not my law. What does the word forget mean as you look into Hebrew? This is a lot of Bible study this morning as we look into what are the meanings of this word. It means literally do not mislay and don't be oblivious of the Word of God. Don't lay the Word of God down, walk away, and forget about it. And that's what we do when we're not daily Bible readers, church. That's what we do so often in life. How many know there's enough things that happen every day that keep you good and uptight, or can? Is anybody living life? Anybody breathing here this morning? Anybody have any uptight things happen in your life from day to day? If you're not in the Word of God, how many know the impact of those things is an awful lot more than it is if you have the Word of God working inside? It says, don't mislay, don't set it down, walk away, and don't be oblivious toward the Word of God. The word oblivious literally means you're not aware of or you're not concerned with what's happening around you. Don't be that way toward the Word of God. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Not doesn't relate to me. No, it does relate to you. So don't be oblivious. My real dad, his name was Orly. My middle name is Orly. Kevin Orly Hunter. When you see the Kevin O. Hunter, the O stands for Orly. I've said that five times more than I said it for 35 years in Pullman, Washington. Because you guys, I used to fight that. I told nobody my middle name. I thought, well, what a name is that? And then I just finally one day I woke up and said, who cares? So anyway, Kevin Orly Hunter. And Orly was horrifically colorblind. He could take a bright red, I'm having trouble with my R's these last couple of weeks. He could take a bright red sweater And he could have a red Letterman sweater and lay it down in green grass. And if he didn't know exactly where he laid it down, that man could not find that sweater when he was in high school. It was so bad that they picked him out because of that problem in World War II, and they would take him up in a plane so he could look over and instantly tell where the camouflage nettings were from the enemy, because he had eyes to see that. So the Lord used the negative. But he could easily mislay his sweater. How often do we mislay the Word of God? We just mislay it. We just let a little dust gather. We just set it aside. I'll get back to it. How many know how quickly weeks go by? You really know it when you're trying to desperately catch up if you want to finish reading the Bible in a year, right? Oh, man. It went so quick. But mislaying is an attitude of the heart. And so don't forget the Word of God. Don't forget what you're doing. Don't forget what life is all about and where you're headed. Church, it's short-term thinking that gets us into trouble, isn't it? It's short-term thinking. Sin and temptation, fool's gold. That which glitters is not always gold. But when we forget to see the long-range thinking, becoming like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, being transformed, having a heart that's changed, when we're not in the Word of God, it's easy to forget His long-range goal. Call it simple, but I think it's a good reminder. Don't forget to think long-range according to the Word of God. Don't mislay the Bible. Don't mislay it. A young man, you've seen about him on the news just in the last 2 weeks, adopted short-term thinking and smoked some marijuana. Some other drugs maybe were in his system, possibly alcohol, before he climbed behind a wheel with two or three of his other friends. About 3 to 5 minutes later, he was in a horrific auto accident. Two or three of those friends are now dead and gone, and he's in jail with a broken heart. His life, his family's life, the other lives, irrevocably changed forever because of short-term thinking. God be with him. We pray, Lord, right now for him. I don't remember his name, but we pray that you'll bring him fully to yourself in the fullness of surrender. You're the only God who can take a horrific mess and bring healing out of it all. But these lives and these families, church, are changed forever. And we need to remember it was just a little short-term thinking. Now, I'm going to be honest. And maybe the guys, you know, you'll be honest with me because you girls were all just so cute and sweet. You never did any of this. But guys, some of us, we just need to stand here this morning and thank God that the Lord didn't allow that to happen with our short-term thinking. I don't know about you. I got saved because I needed to. And I just thank God that some of the stupid stuff I did didn't come home to roost necessarily in my life, but also in the lives of friends that I had with me. Come on, can you say amen for your own life? God is good, and all the time. So the Bible is saying, keep Him and His Word close to your heart. Keep it close. Don't mislay it. Don't be oblivious to the Word of God. The law is the Torah. The Torah, the Pentateuch, the 5 books of the Bible is what they had when this book was written. But He said, keep it. And what does it mean to keep it? It means to guard it, to protect it, to maintain, to obey. When we leave our home, there's an alarm system on that house. And Sherry is very careful, if I don't remember to say, now, did you get the alarm? She's even got on her smartphone, we can drive away, and she can set that alarm, because that house is going to be protected inside. She's got a guard and a guardian at the house. That's overnatural stuff. And God is saying, are you doing that for your heart? Are you doing that for your mind? Are you watching where your mind is going? Oh, okay, let's really make it real, because this affects me too. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Oh, I just like the beat of that music. While the lyrics are all about gangster killing and murder, and we wonder why, and when we're singing about rape and abuse toward women, why are we having problems? Or why are we glorifying billionaires whose lives are totally atrocious? That's where the rubber hits the road, right? I've just been real with you, because I get through that too. So what's the Lord say? Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Guard and keep the Word of God. If you want to be like Him. If we want the blessing of the Word, we have to keep the Word. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the guard. Don't say, see you later, walk away, and then get mad at Him if you have trouble later. Come on, anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
How could you let that happen? He looks at me and goes, how could you let this happen? You made a choice. That's all right. Have you ever called a business and got weeded out?
No.
Weeded out. I need to talk to the boss, and they go, I'm sorry, the boss isn't here, or I'm sorry, here's the vice president you can talk to. I'm sorry, here's other people. You get weeded out, you get filtered. That person who's protecting that boss is guarding the boss and can't be distracted by some of the stuff that we think are really important, but it may not be his or her biggest item on the agenda. You see what I'm saying? There's something happens. Okay, what if you do guard your heart? What if you do keep? And that's that word, keep. What if you do that? You'll be incredibly blessed every day in every way. That's what the Bible says. I'm not promising you health, wealth, and prosperity and all you'll ever get that, but the Bible says you'll be incredibly blessed day in, day out. And so why do we choose anything but? I think I'll choose to not be blessed today. That's our choice when we say, I'll stay away from God, I'll stay away from His Word. So instead, church, let's choose and keep the Word of God. Incredibly blessed. Long life. Length of days. Peace. Anybody in this room like having peace? A little shalom to your life is what that means. A little shalom. Just maintain His Word. Did you ever have a promise? I'm trying to use illustrations to make it real this morning, but any of you ever have a promise? If you keep your nose clean, get good grades, and don't get any tickets, this car will be yours when you turn 21. Anybody ever have that? Yeah, none of us would have made it. That's why we didn't get that promise. So. I didn't either. Some people I've heard have those kinds of promises made to them, and they make it. So, all right, very good. Walk with God and be blessed. Walk away and be harassed. Number two, stay loyal to God and His Word. Say it with me. I am loyal to God and His Word. Stay loyal to God and His Word. Your next instruction and result, verses 3 and 4. What do 3 and 4 say? Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Now I'm reading from the New King James, see? If you'll go back, Pat, to the scripture at the top. See, let's read it from up here. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. So there's your instruction. The result. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. All right. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. The word mercy literally in the Hebrew means let not kindness depart from your life. And when God is talking about kindness, He blesses the kind of kindness that says, I keep Him first and I love Him and I love others around me and I hold to His Word and I love His Word. Let not truth leave you. That truth here is the word in Hebrew for stability, certainty, truth, and trustworthiness. Be loyal to the Word of God. And that is a rare treasure today. Can somebody say amen? Loyalty is rarely found today. The word forsake in Hebrew means loosen, relinquish, permit. Ever heard the word permissive? Don't loosen the Word of God from your heart and grip. Don't let it loose. Don't let your grip loose. Don't relinquish God's Word. Guys, life is a series of choices. We make choices day in, day out. I choose this, therefore I don't have time to choose that. And He's saying, choose this. Don't choose whatever else would replace it. Choose this. if you want to be blessed. Turn to each other and ask a question. Do you want to be blessed? Come on, boom it out to each other. Now answer the question. Then the scripture simply says, choose this. Amen?
Amen?
Now, it says, bind them about your neck. What does that literally mean? It says, tie them up to you. Bind them around you. Be in league with them is literally what it means in the Hebrews. Love and truth, in the Hebrew, love and truth are like a neck chain. Showing your devotion, your love. I get the picture of a wedding ring. When I got married, I put a ring, or she put a ring on my finger. Do you know what this ring says?
You're good.
A variety of things, isn't it? What is it? There you go. Said just like a woman. Did you hear what she said? You belong to me. And she said it what the guy translates. Be good. Be good, dude. Be good. Somebody's watching. You know, thank God. I'm owned. I belong. I'm, you know. And other things like, I'm taken. And there are times, guys, when you better thank God you got that on your finger if you're married. Right? You know, my wife, you see, now I get to share about this kind of stuff. It's all present tense. My wife, she's very sensitive. If you've met her, she's very intuitive. And one of the things she prayed for, this is cool, maybe you don't know this, one of the things she prayed for when she got saved was discerning of spirits. And the Lord has blessed her in that way. And I tell you, she's done this while when Gail and I were married, 24 years. I love my wife, and great, but she and Sherry would get together, and you know whose goose is cooked when that's happening. You know, I mean, they can sit down with me all day long. You got a problem. I don't have a problem. We both agree. You got a problem. Then I better guarantee you guys, I got a problem. Didn't know I had a problem, but I got a problem. But she'll turn to me even today, and she'll say, now I want you to watch for that person. Oh, honey, come on. I want you to watch for that person. Guys, you're taken. I'm sorry. Watch how that happens. There, I'll go like this. There, it's on this hand over here. You're taken. He's saying, I want you to take the word of God, bind it around your neck, show everybody that you're taken. Show everybody. And then those who want to come up and say, come on, chase after us. Let's go worship other gods. Come on, let's go party a little. Let's go do what the world's doing. You have a reminder here that goes, even if that sounds good, I'm sorry, I don't get to, at the end of the day, go run out with the boys. I got to go home. Yeah. I belong to someone else. Bind the word of God around your heart, around your neck. Love the truth. And then he says, write it on the table of your hearts, just like taking an engraving pen. Have you watched engravers with jewelry? You know, we got a neighbor. I love sharing this morning. We got a neighbor. When she got married to her husband, I have no idea how they do this, took an entire section of a reading and had it engraved on the inside of his wedding ring. Of course, if you ever see him, his wedding ring's like this. He can't carry it around. not really. But he's got an entire set of wedding vows inscribed on there. And God says, inscribe the word in your heart. Let me write it on there with the finger. You think of the Ten Commandments. Remember, you watch the Ten Commandments. Out comes the fiery finger of God, and he etches these words on stone for Moses. And God says, this word isn't just etched on stone. Let me write it, as Jeremiah says, in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to write it there. How do you get it there? Read the word of God. Love the word of God. Be loyal to the word of God. He writes it in our hearts and minds. See, when you give your life to Jesus, it's a covenant. It's a commitment. Just like marriage. And it's supposed to last. Just like marriage. And when you do these things, the scripture tells us there's a result. You find favor. And the word favor means graciousness, kindness, beauty. When you keep your heart and mind with the Lord, He brings beauty and beautiful things to your life. And the scripture tells us He makes something beautiful of our lives. And there's an old song we sing about that. He says He gives you good understanding. You know what that literally means in the Hebrew? He gives you intelligence and success. How many of you could use a little more intelligence? My wife agrees. Kevin, you could use some more smarts. No, we all agree that, you know, I know sometimes I lack. You know, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, let him pray. Pray. God, give me wisdom. And He says, Kevin, here's where you'll find it. Stay in here. Amen. How many know you know more about the things of God today than you did 2 years ago? Or 6 years ago? Or 20 years ago? We grow in Him. So He gives us good understanding. You won't be on your own. You won't be just hanging in there. You'll be His, and His word will speak to you. All right, number three, trust in and acknowledge Him in all you do. Say it with me. I trust in and I acknowledge Him in all I do. The word trust literally means run into Him for refuge. Pat, would you bring it back down? We'll read 5 and 6 on the first page. Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry I did that to you. I didn't repeat it in here. So we're going to read it 5 and 6 here. And it goes, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You see, we lift these two verses out of context. They're wonderful promise verses, but there's a whole context here of being loyal and faithful and true to the Word of God, and like a chain around my neck, binding it and writing it in my heart and in my mind. Then I find it easy to trust Him because I know Him better. And the word trust literally means run into Him for refuge. Run into Him for refuge. Trust. Be confident. Be sure in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Literally, it doesn't mean you don't have a brain. You don't have a thought. You don't have common sense. Test your common sense. Go to it. But sometimes what we have are good ideas, but not always God's ideas. Come on, we get good ideas, but not always God's ideas. And what we want are God's ideas. Hey, church, sometimes we've tried things, didn't work, move on, life is kind of like bumper cars. You keep bumping down the road. And it's like that sometimes, but we want God's ideas. And we find them in the Word of God. And He teaches us as we go. So what does it say? Acknowledge Him. Remember in the scriptures when Israel kept turning to Egypt for help? Remember, you'll find the scriptures that say it's like Israel's leaning on a sharp reed that breaks under the pressure, but also pierces, it gives you an owie. When you lean on the wrong thing, when you lean on yourself, how many know you, like me, get owies? Have you ever leaned up on something that wasn't stable and you keep going? You know, life is like that sometimes. We get owies and we're not quite as solid as we should be. If we're distant, if we're living for ourselves, if we've adopted short-term thinking, then we're leaning on our own understanding. So He says, when we have the Holy Spirit as a guard at our heart, when we stay in His Word, when we choose Him, He'll take us on the right road. Now, let me tell you a little story. Long, long time ago, in Pullman, down at the Snake River, about 45 minutes away, we used to go to a family camp. Now, you see my skin tone. I can guarantee you, I'm not a tanner. When it gets really hot, you know what you see me under? Big hats, umbrellas, Sherry, oh God, thank you, I'm out here turning bronze. And Gail was just like that too. Man, she, 10 minutes, she was part Cherokee, 10 minutes, boom, she's tan. I'm going, you know, and I'm melting. So we used to go down to Boyer Park and we'd have family camps. It must have been 1,000 degrees down there. And you'd teach the kids how to ride a bike, and I'd be out there 10 minutes at a time with them, and I'd teach them really well. No, I'm sorry, I'd do more than that. But one day, I got to tell you, I'm a Western Washington kid, and I love trees and water. Eastern Washington wasn't my thing. I'd say to my kids 10 years after I got here, kept saying, don't you love it here? Don't you love it? And they finally stopped me and said, Dad, you don't get it. We were born in Eastern Washington. We love Eastern Washington. And I go, So down there at the Snake River, you got barren hillsides, you got tumbleweed, you got rattlesnakes, and you got 1,000 degrees. This is not my cup of tea. So every chance we could get, we got out of there and we went to Lewiston or we went elsewhere, or I managed to find things to do. Anyway, sorry. So one day, I'm trying to get a shortcut over to Lewiston with my kids. So I got everybody in the car. We're driving down the road, and there's some big roads going off, and it's, you know how it is in Eastern Washington. Starts off with a big road, and pretty soon a lane drops off, and then another lane drops off, and then you're into gravel, you know. And so I get this guy at the side of the road, roll down the window, say, hey, what's the easiest way to get to Lewiston from here? He goes, listen, you go right down here. It's really great. No problem at all. And then I drove away, and I thought maybe my glance in the rearview mirror saw him going. And we probably drove 20 miles, and I ended up in a farmer's field when the road emptied out. And you know what I had to do? Find him and kill him. No, I'm kidding. I'm driving. You know, you drive out in the farmer's field. The gravel finally gives up. Drive out in the farmer's field. You go, I don't think this is Lewiston. Turn around. You know what you have to do? Turn around and go back where you left the right road. And that's like walking with Jesus. Sometimes we choose the wrong road. And when we're not in this, walking closely with him, we get the devil's instruction, go down about 20 miles, and you end up in some place where there's no road left. And the Lord said, repent. A couple of weeks ago, reboot. Turn around. Get back to the road, would you? And he's gracious and he's merciful as we say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I thought this was going to be a shortcut. Yeah, right. And in fact, we pretty much ran out of time for our little escape to Lewiston. Sometimes we don't get to do the thing we really wanted to do because we made a wrong choice. But God is gracious when we turn around and we go back. Don't lean to your own understanding. Choose his road, his way. But Jesus is bigger than your mistake and mine, than your sin and mine, than the difficulty the enemy throws our way. He's bigger. Watch it out of the New King James now, please. My son, do not forget my law. So now we'll go back to where we were, Pat, on point three. Great. Okay, great. New King James then. My son, it says this, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace they will add to you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Point four. And we'll come to a close. God is bigger. Please say it. God is bigger. Hold on to him for the journey. Say, Lord, I hold to you for the journey. Lean on his understanding, not ours. We don't always know what he's up to, but you can always know he's up to something great. Father knows best, and he wants to help you in the best way possible. When the enemy tries to snare us, when we're staying close to God and his word, doesn't mean we won't ever have trouble, but it means Father God, just like the prophetic word, is here to help us. It was a theme of the morning. Listen to some examples just from the Old Testament. Jacob was full of fear because of the problems he had with his brother Esau. And he's getting ready to go back home and he hears that his brother is ferocious toward him in his countenance. And Esau gets all his men together and they're going to bear down on him. And Jacob wrestles all night with an angel. God help me. And he divides up his families and gives a gift to, and he's setting them all out. And the guy thinks, I'm going to get killed. And the next day his brother comes up weeping and crying and falling arm in arm because it had been years since they saw each other. God took care of that anger. Who knew? Father God knew. Doesn't make sense. But God knows. Joseph goes into Egypt to slave, and he spends time in prison based on a false charge. And as a result of God's blessing, he ends up reconciled with his brother who sold him away. Who knew? He never expected that to happen. Guys, you don't know. Can you imagine what it was like after 13 years in prison and falsely accused and everything else? Would you think, oh yeah, deliverance is just right around the corner? I don't think so. Who knew? Father God knew. Israel is a slave in Egypt and living in slavery. And Egypt was literally at that time, you need to know, was the most powerful nation on the planet at the time. And God literally devastates them through a series of supernatural occurrences. And Israel is delivered without, if you will, firing a shot. Who knew? It doesn't make sense. Who knew? Well, Father God knew. A prophet, Balaam, is hired to curse Israel. And he can't do anything but bless Israel. Who knew? Haman builds gallows and a 75-foot set of gallows to hang Mordecai. And Haman, in one night, God turns the whole thing. And Haman is hung on it himself. Who knew? Father God knew. Jonah resists God's command to preach to the enemy he hated with good cause, the Assyrians. And he runs. And God prepares a great big fish just for him to change his heart. Who knew? Father God knew. Because God is bigger. God is bigger. God is bigger. And church, say it with me. He can do anything. Come on. He can do. Turn to each other and say, he can do anything. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 5 and verse 9. Psalm 2, 1 through 5, verse 9. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? And they do all the time. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed. They're coming against you in the body of Christ. And they say, come on, let's break their bonds in pieces. Let's cast away their cords from us. We don't want any restrictions from the church in our life after all. We don't want anybody telling us sin is sin and righteousness is righteousness. We don't want anybody telling us that our ideas don't belong to God. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Who's laughing? The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. You shall break them, verse 9, with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And what I want you to know from all of this is God can change things in an instant if you'll let Him. I didn't say God will always change it in an instant, but God can change things in an instant if we'll let Him. Because Father knows best. And God is bigger. Come on, say it with me. God is bigger. God is bigger. Again, God is bigger. Now watch all of this out of the Message. If you'll drop it down. Thank you, Pat. Watch this. Good friend, don't forget all I've taught you. Take to heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time. A long life lived full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. carved their initials on your heart. Ever carved your initials on a tree? Still there 50 years later or however long. And don't lose your grip. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who'll keep you on track. Amen?
Amen.
Love the Word of God. Live in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Let Him keep you on track through His Word. Stand with me, church. Musicians, will you come, please? Pat, we're going to do the last two songs, Time Together, He Alone is Worthy, and How Great is Our God. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, I urge you to take time, meet with Him. He loves you so much. We love you. We welcome you here. If you're a guest or visitor this morning, we welcome you here anytime and every time. We love you. Wednesday night grace gathering begins at 6:30 until 8 o'clock. Most of all, let's keep running after the Lord together and encouraging each other in Jesus, right? Father, we thank You for being so good to us. Thank You, Lord, for the precious richness of Your Word. And help us, Lord, as we embark on a new year together, to stay true to You and stay in Your Word. Tie it in our hearts and tie it around our necks and write it in us. And we'll look forward to blessing You and blessing each other every single day. Have Your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you, these altars areas are here to take time and pray. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people able to pray for you as well. Most of all, go knowing that you're loved and God isn't here to chide you or condemn you, but to take you on. Amen?